everybody, and welcome to the second episode of 28's podcast, newly named 32, just to, I guess, confuse everybody with different talks of scale and whatnot. But I'm Eric, and I'm here with Alexander again, and yeah, we're here to talk about the hobby and 28 and all those things. How are you doing, Alex?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Eric. I'm really happy to be here again. How are you doing?
Yeah, no, I'm excited. I'm happy to be recording this second episode and to keep, you know, this momentum going, and hope we can continue to talk about interesting things through this forum, which I guess that brings to mind that the fourth volume of 28 is in the final stages, like all the editing, most of the graphical work is done. So I'm excited to say it's very soon, with at least within the next couple weeks. The exact date isn't completely set, but it's exciting to be at this point again.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say it's like 97% done, just small like tinkering left at this point. So depending a bit on the holidays, we hope to have it out and in everyone's, well, computers, I guess, as soon as possible.
No, yeah, I'm excited, and I think it's about as long as the last issue or so. So it's a good issue. It's, you know, taken a little time, as everyone knows, but I guess as good things take, you know, the effort and so forth. So I think we're all excited to have it released and everyone being able to read it.
Yeah, there's definitely something in it for everyone. I think we're covering more different things in this than any other volume so far. So, but yeah, let's not spoil it like you get it, but just so you know, it's coming soon, very soon.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess just to continue with the general format, like, has there been anything you've been working on recently, Alex?
Well, I actually counted how many miniatures I painted this year. That's, I guess, one of the good things with Instagram, that it's kind of easy to scroll through what you've been up to. And I've actually managed to paint roughly 150 miniatures last year or this year.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised. But then I started like checking up a bit, and I noticed that, well, a large part was all the Cursed City stuff I've been working on. Mm-hmm. All these Old Hammer miniatures for that game. So that's, I guess, 60, 70 miniatures almost there.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, and then my Dark Angels army is already 16 miniatures. And I just started, well, I'm actually quite far along, but I'm doing my own small expansion for Cursed City. Mm-hmm. It's a Christmas scenario I'm going to play with my kids now. So I've been getting these old good miniatures, and I'm now painting up the old Santa. It's a miniature from, I think, 87, Chaos Warrior Santa. So I'll be showing it off soon on my own account.
That's hilarious.
So that's what I've been doing, yeah. Painting a lot, and, well, suddenly have the time to do it. Yeah, what have you been doing? I haven't seen you post much.
Yeah, I unfortunately haven't been wildly active, but I've still been slowly working at painting more Dark Angels, and I feel I'm happy to say this year is the first year I've ever painted a Dark Angel, despite being, you know, generally like a Dark Angels fan and have been playing like an army kind of associated them with a while. But yeah, I painted a few more. I think I now have 6 painted, and I'm working on a 7th here. So that's exciting. And I think I probably painted around 10 miniatures this year, which, I mean, isn't a ton, but considering
it's a start, you know. Yeah, you're getting back into the brushes.
No, it's true. And like, I honestly had painted very little throughout all my time in the hobby, and it's only more recently that I decided, like, why aren't I doing this?
Yeah, the results are great. You're a really good painter, so it's definitely nice to see you being at it.
Yeah, no, it's fun, and it's fun to feel more involved and have that additional creative outlet rather than just like assembling or writing or that sort of thing. So yeah, mm-hmm. It's been fun, and I guess hopefully this will hearken in an even more productive 2022, but we will see, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we can only hope for the best.
That's right. And maybe it'll be a year that the pandemic finally starts to die down, but who knows?
Fingers crossed again.
Yeah.
Other than like painting miniatures, I've also been reading Black Library. And today we're going to talk actually about the Black Library book. Last time we talked about the Forbidden Solm game. So now it's just pure reading instead. And well, this is probably as far away from the obvious 28 kind of grim, dark and all that stuff. It's the Warhammer Adventure series, War of the Orcs, by Kevin Scott and illustrated by Cole Marchetti and Magnus Norén. Actually, that's a Swedish name, so I knew how to pronounce that one correctly.
That's good. I couldn't have.
So, these books came out, I think it was 19 or late 18. And for those who don't know them, they're like, well, not young adult. They're even younger than that. They're marketed for 8 to 12-year-olds. And kind of an introduction to Age of Sigmar and 40K for kids. And, there was kind of an uproar when they came out among some of the community. But I have to admit that even though I was really skeptical and wasn't sure if this was going to be fun or not, I really liked this book. It was a fun read. I mean, War of the Orcs. You can't go wrong with a title like that, can you?
Yeah, no, I was, you know, very skeptical, as I assume most would be. But I wanted, like, ever since hearing that they were doing it at all, I wanted to at some point jump in and at least read one to get a sense, is it as bad as some people were expecting? And like, what are they trying to do with this? And this seemed like a great opportunity to at least, you know, dip our toes into it. I guess with that in mind, why did we pick book four? Like, this is the fourth book in the Warped Galaxies series, which I believe is like the 40K one and the Age of Sigmar one. I'm not sure what it was, but were we just drawn to orcs being orcs, and that's kind of a fun thing?
Yeah, I actually have to admit, I wasn't that interested in like checking out how the series progresses. And I have this strong belief in, as a dad who's read a lot for his kids, I have a strong belief that you have to be able to pick up any book in the series, and you kind of have to figure it out quickly who is who if it's a good kids movie, a kid book, because kids can't remember, or they can remember, but it gets easily confused if you have to have this like plots that goes for like five or six books. You have to have an introduction to the characters, and just so you can like, okay, this is what we're going with. It's kind of like a Marvel movie, I guess, should be, that, you know, you can pop in anyone and you don't have to know all the backstory to enjoy it. If you know more backstory, it's obviously easier to get, but it should still be like easy to pick up any number in the series. And it has green pages.
Yeah, that's fun.
How can you not love that? It's such a fun touch. So I was like, yeah, sure, let's do this. And my boy is an orc fan, so once he's learned a little bit more English, I think we're going to have this as his slow to read on his own book.
Yeah, no, I think that is a good point, that for any book, particularly one in this genre, you should be able to pick it up wherever. And with that said, I think this did fit in that criteria. Like, I knew very little about the books other than that, kind of glancing at their covers, that there were like three young children or young whatnot that were...
I think they're children. I think they're like 12. I think it was mentioned how old the blonde boy is, but I can't recall. But I would say preteen.
Yeah, and what his name is Talon, I believe.
Yeah, I wasn't really sure how to pronounce that. It was kind of a surprising name in like a 40K setting. And he also had some sort of really funny last name. I think it was like, oh yeah, here it is. Talon, yeah, that's his name. And he's like Stormweaver or something like that, which was kind of a surprise. It gets more of a Star Wars vibe than a 40K vibe, of course. But still, it's like an adventurous name that kids are going to like pick up on if they had been like Delta P4 or something like that. Then it might have been much harder for them to connect to. So,
yeah, but so it was like three kids, the Talon guy, which I think they did give some background about him, that I think his father had been like, in the Imperial Guard, like a drill mass sergeant master, something like that.
Yeah, he's kind of a runaway. Oh, and spoilers for the whole book, but really, I mean, if you're listening and don't want spoilers, why are you listening to this? So, then there's the... I think she's the main character, but I wasn't quite sure. Zelia, something, some pronunciation like that. Oh, yeah, here it says on the back that she's 12 years old.
Okay.
So, yeah, she's this kind of like... do-gooder, perhaps, would be the word. Slightly too, like... I get this strong Hermione from Harry Potter vibe from her. She's written very much in the same sense. And at times it felt like he could have done a better job with her. She always like, oh, I'm just going to do my plan. And then it was kind of like blew up in her face, which felt like, okay, maybe... you know, have her learn some lesson. I'm not sure. I mean, perhaps she has progressed from the other three books and was very different in those.
But
and then there's, how do you pronounce the last one?
Mech,
which is
like
kind
that.
Of like mech, I guess. So he's described quite hilariously that there's a boy and a girl and a Martian, which I thought was really nice. Like, oh yeah, and then there's that guy from space. Fuck that guy. So he's the nerd and kind of the wizard of the of the group. So it's like, I guess Talon, the boy, is the rogue.
Yeah.
And Celia is this kind of paladin archetype. So Mech is kind of the wizard, which, I mean, 40K technology is magic.
Yes.
There's no like scientific sense in any of it. So yeah, he's a wizard.
And it seems like the overarching plot throughout all of these is that they're looking for Zelia's mother.
She's kind of a MacGuffin, I think. Like, you know, something like, oh, we have to find her and let's go into all these wacky adventures.
And it seemed maybe that she had some product, like in like as almost like an archaeologist or something, because they had mentioned that like when she was younger had visited some like tomb worlds or things. I'm not sure. Perhaps this is expanded in some of the earlier books, but ultimately, as you said, it does seem like she's sort of a MacGuffin in the sense that it's just like, okay, this is the thing they're going after this and. Weird, crazy adventures ensue and will continue to ensue, showcasing all the different factions in the 40K universe. Because I think maybe the first was...
I think Necrons was the first.
Gene Stealer Cultists, I think.
Yeah, and one with Tau, because I definitely remember seeing one of those covers. And I think the last one, or the fifth one, I don't know if it's the series has ended or not, is Nurgle, which is kind of an odd choice for a children's book.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, really? But I'm sure it's a well-written book, and or like good enough for this kind of book, and it's made in a way that it's not... like Lords of Silence Nurgle. It's more, much more chill Nurgle.
One thing that I was kind of pleasantly surprised, scattered throughout the book, there are some little illustrations that are quite good and just fun, sort of like inked drawings showing some of the characters and doing what they're doing. And I thought they were kind of neat and just a fun addition. Like, there wasn't a ton of it, but just a few of them here and there allowed, particularly if you weren't someone super integrated into the 40K universe, to give you a sense of some things.
Yeah, and they also had this small appendix at the back. I think they should have put it in the front, to be honest, where they like describe what the heck an orc is and all this kind of stuff, because it would have been easier if you knew it's there. And because I can I can imagine, like, you know, some mom or dad reading this and being, what the fuck is a squig? And it would have been easy to have it just like in the front, like, hey, these are that's the audible, good, audible yeah. terms we're going to use in this book.
That's a good point, because like I actually got the digital version of it and like I never even saw it. Like, it didn't even occur to me to look back there. I suspect if I had the physical copy, I probably would have like kind of paged through it and saw it. But yeah, they have a nice compendium in the back. There's a kind of adorable picture of an orc and some stuff about how orcs speak, which is kind of fun, how they count, and some images of weapons and stuff. And like, that's all fun, like, and about their different types of squigs, oiler squigs and whatnot. Like, that's fun. Like, there's a lot of ultimately good information back here that at the very least, if you knew it was there and you came across something while reading, you could like just sort of flip to the back and see, hey, is there, does it expound on anything here? So that is a nice touch. But yeah, I do kind of agree that it was in a place that you might not even acknowledge it.
Yeah, no, it's easy to overlook. And once you get to the end, it kind of feels like, okay, you're not that interested at that point anymore. Mm-hmm. Or, I don't know. And I was also really surprised that there are no pictures of miniatures here. Usually that's in these true. Like pockets, you always get at the back like, oh, hey, go to your local Games Workshop store. You're going to get a free miniature. By the way, I've never gotten a free miniature once I walked into a Games Workshop. They look at me and say like, yeah, we got that guy. He's an addict already. Fuck that. We're not giving him free miniatures.
He'll pay for this. We don't. This is going to be none of that.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to walk out €100 lighter anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, like the overall arc of the story was quite easy. They super fast traveled to some planet and get shot down by orcs, which was quite hilarious. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I was really smiling through the whole, like, oh no, we're going down apart.
Yeah.
And why they ended up scattered so far away, I didn't really, like, get, but okay. And then they have some hijinks with, like, techno-orcs and what I presume is, like, feral orcs or perhaps Naga boys now. They didn't feel that tied into like the miniatures, though. No. I thought that was quite neat that they were given a little bit of their own like space to breathe. Like the tech orc boss has a squig on his head, which was mentioned a lot.
Yeah, and the hair squig trying to hold on for dear life at points and such.
And then the savage orc boss has this fake beard made of leaves or something and thorns, which really funny, but he mentions that he has sore thumbs or fingers from all the thorns. And I thought that's like, what a weird thing to write, but quite funny to add.
Yeah, now that is true. Yeah, because I feel they seem generally like there was a kind of two clans that were warring with each other. One, you sort of the classic savage orc, feral orc type thing, and the other's more like bad moons that had like a lot more money and technology. But it is true that they weren't like super pigeonholed into like the miniatures or something, which was fun that they had that the author was sort of given that free rein. But it's still,
yeah, and they skipped all the names, you know. There's no dog, like, what are they called? The bad dogs and stuff like that, pain boys. They smoothen it out a bit and be like, yeah, this is a war boss, and that's the only title, really, you need to know.
No, that's true, and they didn't have, like, all those, like, wildly specific names for different types of buggies and such, because they wanted to get that IP, which was nice. There's,
Yeah, you wouldn't want to read a book and come across that, what's Daga Baga Baga, and be like, what the hell did I just read?
No, it's true. So in that sense, like, it was very easy to read. It was only like 100 pages, so it was, you know, really quick, which I feel you know, 200
pages. Yeah. A little bit over 200 pages. Okay. But yeah, I mean, I read it in 2 hours. I think it was super fast. But on the other hand, I saw one thing I noticed was that is a lot of cliffhangers. Like almost every chapter ended in a cliffhanger, which was really nice. It has this feel of like a bedtime story, you know? You read a chapter and then it's like, oh, what happens next? What happens next? And it's like bedtime. We'll read tomorrow again.
Yeah, no, that is true. Yeah, because since I read it digitally, it said it was like 100 pages. So I guess it's just different how it's portrayed. But yeah, each chapter is pretty quick. So yeah, it would work well for that sort of thing. Read a chapter or two in a short time and it kind of gives you something to look forward to. And also,
yeah,
I guess the big thing people were, I think, concerned about this, these sorts of things, is that is it going to be like diluting the universe and making it not a grim fascist sort of humanity and whatnot? Do you have any thoughts on that? Like how much did it seem like 40K, or was it veering into like Star Wars or Dune or any of like other established science fiction settings to you?
In a way, yes. Quick side note, I never read Dune. I mean, those books are so thick, and it's like, nah, shit that. I'm just going to watch that 80s movie. It was good enough, you know? I know enough now.
I recently read the first Dune book, but...
All right. But yeah, it has a slight Star Wars vibe to it, definitely. Especially those like non-movies, you know, those cartoon shows and stuff like that. The old Ewok movies even comes to mind. Like,
or
it's like very
Star
much
Star Wars Rogue or that sort of stuff.
Yeah, all these kind of like slightly more adventure vibe. And as we mentioned earlier, they like smoothen out a lot of the technology, which again is a good thing because it would be quite a dense book if you explain how space travel functions in this setting and stuff like that. So it's much smoother, and you know, Mekki isn't a religious nut lighting candles before he push a button and these kind of things. So yeah, it has this definitely like a Star Warsy feel, and it's not grimdark. There are surprising moments of violence, even kind of like extreme violence for children's book. I mean, they get like slowly turned over fire when the orcs are going to eat them. And I was kind of like, okay, this is an interesting turn. But I know that this is kind of like the, you know, safe danger. Kids like that. Like compared to a lot of cartoon violence in TV shows, it's kind of like exciting, can be slightly threatening, but at the same time, it doesn't go too far. You know, nobody's ever really like, none of the heroes are ever really in danger.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, also obviously the cover is going to be like something for those who take Warhammer way too seriously to spit and froth about. But... I mean, yeah, sure, and I've been guilty at times of taking it too seriously and being like, oh, it has to be dark as midnight, and oh, I can't have any fun. Which, yeah, I think, but, you know, it's kind of feeling also that you can do super grim dark Warhammer, and there can still be place for Warhammer adventures. Mm-hmm. One doesn't necessarily cancel the other. They're made for very different audiences. It's like, you know, they make scented candles, sure, but is that going to detract from you having fun with your miniatures? Probably not. So it's a bit like, yeah, if this started to creep into the main setting and book styles, but I don't see that happening. I mean, there's no reason for them to do that, because those Black Library books like The Siege of Terra and that, it has a different audience. You know, you're not trying to get the same people. So this is more like finding a new segment to sell to and introduce to the hobby. And I guess if you're 12 reading this, maybe not a starter box, but at least a start painting box could be a nice little gift. But I would love to see the trio of kids and that orangutan, the Jokaero, as miniatures. I think that would be a lovely little, like, it doesn't even have to be, they do this weird series of stuff like commemorative and this. Yeah. So it could be like, just like, hey, here are the characters from Black Library. They don't even need to have rules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it, I would agree that it certainly does seem maybe a little bit more like a Star Wars thing. And a lot of that, I think, is because of some of the technology things were sort of pushed off to the side for, you know, ease of writing and comprehension. But because the first thing in the book that sort of stuck out to me towards that end was just when they wanted to go to a new planet, the rogue mm-hmm. trader that they were with was like, who wants to co-pilot? And like Talon's like, oh, I will. And he sprinted over there. And then the tech priest kid was like kind Mickey. Of upset about it. And then it was like, you can go play with that Tau battle suit you had. And like that like struck like, whew, this is
it's getting definitely different. It's not like, yeah, you have to go into a hell dimension and travel for 10 years before getting to the next star system.
No, it seemed like there was no navigators, none of that. It almost just seemed like they shot into warp speed or whatever, like a Star Wars type thing, and got there. I mean, but they didn't specifically say anything towards that end, so maybe they were already close to the planet. I don't know, but it, some of that, the fact that it was just a couple characters in a small ship traveling the galaxy, seems a bit at odds with my normal appreciation for Warhammer. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I don't know how it was portrayed in other some of the other books and such. But I think, particularly as you were saying, like, it's for a different audience. I don't have a huge concern with it. And, like, they do mention, like, things about the Emperor and, like, kind of that the Imperial Creed, and there's an Inquisitor involved that it's not kind of sure what he's doing, and rogue traders and such. So, I mean, I still think it is clearly within the 40K setting. It's just not really focused on being overly bleak
It's like 40K light in that mm-hmm. sense.
And like, also, it's a big galaxy. Certainly there are death worlds and these horrible hive worlds like Necromunda and such. But some planets, I don't think, are quite as hellish, because most kind of can have their own types of government and such, provided, you know, they're paying their imperial tithes and taxes and so forth. So, like, I don't think it, like, the setting precludes some places and characters being, you know, a little less abhorrent.
No, definitely. And I mean, Games Workshop has always been very, like, clear about that. Hey, it's all canon, but it's not all true, which mm-hmm. I think is such a wonderful phrase of being like, you having your cake and eating it too.
Yeah.
So it's like, you take it for what it is, and I love that Warhammer is very heavy on the, like, unreliable narrator.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't really trust anything you read to be whatever the truth is in that sense. But yeah, no, it is slightly diluted, sure, but it's still like fun, and as we said, like, for a different audience.
I had read a little that some people thought some of the other books in the series were maybe a little more plot focused and whatnot, and that this one was a little bit more focused on kind of the comedic elements of orcs and such, which, I mean, I think that's fine too. I think each book looking at the different factions and things allows, like, a different tensions and narrative arcs. And I think, you know, that's part of the fun, and that's, you know, this is what it was going for, and I think it really hits it. But that doesn't mean that if you love the Horus Heresy and stuff, like, you should jump into this expecting, you know, the next Legion or one of those books.
Yeah, no, definitely not. It's very different from those kind of books. So it should be quite clear that, yeah, this is a children's book, and you're not going to read a children's book and expect it to be like this, well, pulp literature that Black Library usually is.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, one of the funnier critiques I saw of these books is that it's somehow an introduction to fascism for children. And I was kind of like, excuse me? It was kind of like, oh, well, if the Imperium is fascist, then, you know, since the heroes are from the Imperium in the books, then kids are going to love that and somehow become fascists. And I was just like, maybe we should all, you know, relax sometimes a little bit on and not be like, you know, cry wolf for everything. I'm sure somebody's going to be upset about this comment, but, you know, sorry, not sorry. And I definitely don't see that happening. I don't see any kid reading this and not being like, hey, wow, I like orcs. That's what they're going to take from this. Yeah. Not like, oh yes, Nazism is the way forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's reading a little too far into it. Like, that's not, it's not like some primer to try to suggest that, like, all people different should be excluded or whatever. Like, I feel in some sense they like make it clear that each of the main characters is fairly different from each other, but they're all kind of have different strengths that they encourage, and they have like a nice growing friendship. So
yeah, exactly. I mean, they're all kind of fucking up, you know, and making mistakes the whole way until they all are back together and start working together, and then they kind of save the day. Mm-hmm. So it's, if there's anything you can take from this, it is exactly that, like, you know, working together with different people are going to be much more efficient.
Yes. I mean, ultimately I think it was pretty good. I had fun reading it. It was easy to read. Mm-hmm. And like, I would honestly read more. And if I did have kids kind of within that age range, I probably would read it with them, because it does kind of get them somewhat involved in like a hobby or something that I quite enjoy. So I think it did what it wanted to quite well.
Yeah. Especially if you're like already playing a little bit or painting with your kids, then this is a good way to show a little bit of like the characters and stories behind the miniatures, which I'm really sure the kids would enjoy. So, but I think it would be easier to just like see what is the faction you're playing with, and then just pick whatever book covers that, kind of covers that faction. Obviously, it's going to be Space Marines, and I don't know if there's a Space Marine book. Yeah, but
I don't think there is. Maybe one has.
Try something else. Go for Tau. Nobody likes Tau.
Yeah, but maybe someone would, because they get a cool Tau battle suit.
Yeah.
Well, one thing that maybe could be worth mentioning, and none of us listened to the audiobook version.
I didn't know there was an audiobook version.
I think there
version.
Is for all of them, and I don't know. At least the orc one is read by David Tennant, and like, people love him, like, as, you know, one of the more famous doctors from Doctor Who and such, and supposedly does a really good job with it, and that it's like brilliant and really fun. So I feel that's just one more way you could potentially experience it, and I think that would also make it potentially even more charming. So yeah, ultimately I think there are a lot of ways you could kind of dive into it, particularly if you have someone in your life that this, you know, would appeal to.
Yeah, I think they're doing something on Warhammer Plus with these characters as well, that, you know, their semi streaming service. I think they have some kind of show, or I think I saw some kind of teaser for where they were running around, and I think this would make a wonderful Sunday cartoon.
Yeah,
it's would. Like really, hopefully with this really like tacky 90s kind of drawing where, you know, you only draw every second. So it would be kind of like really old school, like Teenage Ninja Turtles and these kind of things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we can always hope for the best.
Yeah, no, I think it would fit that very well. Yeah, no, ultimately, I think they're quite good, and I think there is a place for it, even when someone like me or yourself, Alex, which I feel in just with 28 as a whole, we do kind of tend to focus on some of the darker, seedier, depressing elements of 40K and just the miniature hobby and such, but it's still kind of a fun diversion and something else that, I don't know, I think it's better for having it there, and it doesn't have to detract from other things, so...
Yeah, I agree on that. I think otherwise we're kind of at our end here.
Yeah, I think so.
Or do you have anything you wanna add to this discussion here?
I don't think so. I think I said what I wanted to. I'm happy you had the suggestion to read one of the books. Like, yes, I suggest that it's something that I've been kind of meaning to for a while, and it's nice to be able to get someone else's thoughts on it.
Yeah, I don't think it would have been that much fun reading on your own, like as an adult reading to yourself, but it was much more fun reading it and knowing we were going to talk about it afterwards and having like a reason to read it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think our next episode is going to be you and Mira, but don't like lock it down yet. Everything might always change.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll get it out at some point in January, end of January, maybe early February, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it should be fun. It looks like, again, not locked down completely, but we're likely going to read a collection of short stories by the horror author Thomas Ligotti, who kind of writes some sort of Edgar Allan Poe, Lovecraftian sort of short stories that's pretty well regarded in kind of the weird fiction genre, but more on that next time, perhaps.
Yeah, well, that at least sounds like proper 28 of literature, and I hope if there's any listeners here who's gonna read it that they actually get in touch. We would love to hear, of course, you know, what they think about, well, also on the Warhammer Adventure book, what they thought about that book, but also on the horror series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually, so the collection, he has a bunch of collections, but we'll likely be reading one that was released in the early 2000s called Teatro Grotesco, which I think is Italian for Theater of the Grotesque, and not being fluent in Italian, I maybe pronounced that not quite right, but I think people get the idea.
Yeah, I think so. But hey, there's nothing more to add here, so I think we'll, you know, wish a happy holidays to all our listeners and also to you and yours, Eric.
Yep, same to you. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and yeah, we hope to be back sometime soon in the new year.